This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. Do you believe the Cowboys can win an important road game, especially with their best defensive player out? Y'all's initial thoughts. I've got some research on this. But you're
we'll be fine.
Okay.
You have to offense this game, Kevin. Like, this is one of those things where
onside every time.
Yeah, your secondary has to just give you some sort of chance. And whenever you, Kevin, you discussed this last week, man, and I think you're spot on. The offense was great, except for the moments that it mattered the most for the Cowboys. Yeah. Whenever it was like you, and that's what I, when it comes to a team learning how to win. Whenever it's time to like put everything out there and go, all right, let's go do this. Nobody can stop us. The Cowboys don't have that. And just, I go back to that swing on the front end of the second or the last end of the first half and the front end of the second half, the Cowboys failed miserably at it. So they have to this week go out with the mindset of that can't happen again, because otherwise I do think that Herbert's going to run away with this, and that would be good for the Cowboys.
All right, Mike, I know you were joking there, but just the concept of the Cowboys going on the road against what we think is a solid team to be determined.
Especially offensively. Yeah. I think what you're talking about, like, can we go to the New York Giants this week and not allow 30 points? Yes. Not the Chargers. This team is going to rack up points, as many as they want, I think, is what they're going to rack up.
So I did some research about the Cowboys on the road the last 5 years. So in the last, let's start with the last three seasons. In the last three seasons, plus this season opener, the Cowboys are 8-17 on the road. One of those wins came against a team that finished the season at or above 500.
Which one?
Who do you think?
Wait, say that again, because
8-17 in the last 3 years, the Cowboys have won one road game against a team that ended the season with a record at or above 500. I would suggest you play the law of averages.
Philly
is correct. That was in 2018.
Hell yeah.
We were 7.5 point underdogs in that game.
So
I remember looking this up.
Oh my God.
Now that he said it.
Yeah. So that's a concern.
It was after the Tennessee game, after we got destroyed by Tennessee on Sunday night or Monday night football.
After
it was the first
Cooper
game of Amari Cooper. Yeah.
That's a concerning trend. Right there is, all right, so 8-17 on the road in the last three seasons. That's not good. I know they played really well in that first game against Tampa. Do you look at Los Angeles as a team likely to be about 500 or better? I know you can't be exactly 500.
Well, I predicted for them to be 10-7 for this season and make the last wild card spot. I thought they'd go 4-0 against our division, which I thought 4-4. 3-3 in their own division. That racks up 7 wins. They have to win 3 other games, and I think they can.
Corey, do you think it's fair to say that, like, the Chargers should at least be in that mix to be about or above 500?
I think they're in the same kind of place where, like, health-wise on their defense is going to be very important to them, because they got a couple guys on IR. Their entire secondary is questionable. But I think, like, health-wise, I think they can be in that place. And I think a lot of it has to do with the quarterback for sure.
So you go to 2020, Cowboys were 2-6 on the road. Two teams that they beat, Minnesota, 7-9, Cincinnati, 4-11-1. No deal. 2019, Cowboys 3-5 on the road. They beat Washington, 3-13. The Giants, 4-12. Detroit, 3-12-1. No deal. 2018, Cowboys are 3-5 in the road. Beat the Giants, 5-11. Atlanta, 7-9. Philly, 9-7. So that's it. In the last 3 years, and we can go back further, in the last 3 years, you have one victory over a team that we think the Chargers are going to be in that category. Like, I understand the NFL season is unpredictable and you never know, blah, blah. But we think the Chargers are going to be in that category. You have only beaten a team like that one time in the last 3 years. Like, I get it. I heard Mike McCarthy earlier say that's the toughest thing to do in the NFL is win on the road.
After he took a shot at the Chargers fan base yesterday.
That is true. That is true. Is there any particular reason outside of just the Cowboys haven't been that great of a team for the last 3 years or so that, although they were better that in 18, is there any particular reason you think the Cowboys just can't beat good teams on the road? Is it just as simple as they're not a good team?
Yeah, I think.
I think that starts off the conversation. If we're going to cut out this pie, the biggest piece of pie is when they go on the road and they play a team as talented them or more talented, they usually lose.
You brought up, Kevin, yesterday the dip off from DeMarcus Lawrence to whoever else.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things you could probably factor into every one of these things that you've dropped is like, even Stephen Jones told us this. Waking up Monday morning is the worst.
Yeah.
Because you're afraid of what happens. And I think when you look at the Cowboys, Mike just said you're complete and total talent level. You're kind of you put your biggest piece of pie into DeMarcus Lawrence and your biggest piece of pie into Dak and Zeke. And if one of those guys isn't available or there, then you're screwed, right? And DeMarcus Lawrence is one of your biggest pieces. So what's the backup behind that? You know, because I spent so much money here, why do I spend more money as for his backup if I've already spent the money for that guy? Well, then crap, I don't have that guy now. So I think if you kind of go look at those times, this record we're talking about, with the Cowboys, it's always something. Something's always missing from them.
You know what helps? And I know this isn't a perfect theory, is you haven't been infiltrated by the Jerry Jones family. 2016, we beat Pittsburgh. We beat Green Bay. Really 13-2. You're going to be 14-2 if you play the last week out. Well, who were you led by? Dak Prescott had no clue what the Cowboys' way was. Ezekiel Elliott had no clue what the Cowboys' way was. Let's go back to Bill Parcells, and let's go back to the early years of Tony Romo. Wasn't Tony Romo somewhat his most successful as he took the reins of the Cowboys without kind of having the popularity of that Cowboys brand on him? But as soon as that popularity of the Cowboys brand got put on him, things started going a little bit different. Now, it's not a perfect theory because I don't believe Dak doesn't care about winning. I think Dak's a great leader. I think Dak cares tremendously about winning. But for some reason, if you look at the Jones family, and after they got rid of Jimmy Johnson, if you just look at it, their best seasons are usually when it's kind of infiltrated. Your talent is infiltrated by people who are kind of just out of college, and they don't know that the Cowboys brand is more important than the game.
Let me ask you this then, Mike, because I know a lot of Cowboys fans won't feel that way. But
they don't want to feel that way because then it becomes hopeless.
Okay, so do you think this season is hopeless then, and future seasons under Dak Prescott are hopeless because of that? Like, I'm really asking if that's what you're saying.
Somewhat, yeah. As a Cowboy fan, I've given up that this team will ever be a true contender. Now, I do think there's a possibility, not this year, and even before DeMarcus Lawrence, before Lyle Collins, right? I was picking them 8-9 this year. I think their defense is terrible, and now it is pathetic for at least 6-8 games. I think there's a small possibility, the little hope, the little glimmer of the Bassick family that had season tickets from the first day of the Dallas Cowboys till the end of the 1998 season, till my grandfather couldn't physically go to the games anymore, says, what if this defense improves as this season goes along, which is going to be a lot tougher now with DeMarcus Lawrence missing half the season. What if I see a defense that improves enough that this team goes over 500, they make the playoffs, and then I say, boy, and then they add another first-round draft pick to their – because I want to do this research too, because when everybody's like, Kelvin Joseph, all these defensive guys we took in the third, fourth, and fifth round, I don't even care about the Cowboys. I'm going to go tomorrow. I'm going to have a segment for you. I'm going to go to 2015 and 2016, and I'm going to find all the guys that have made Pro Bowls and all-pro teams that were drafted after the first round on defense to show how difficult it is when you think that Kelvin Joseph or Wright or all these guys are actually going to turn into premium players, and how not impossible, but close to impossible it is. But that's my little bit of hope, Kevin, is that maybe in 22 or 23, I can see a defense being decent enough and the offense being dominant enough that I can have the hope that I have not had since 2017.
Okay, so a couple of people here, diverging opinions from the 609. You guys just talked me into taking the Chargers. And then from the 469, did y'all watch the game Thursday night? Are the Chargers that much better than the Bucs? Not at all. And on Friday, I would have told you for sure I thought the Cowboys were going to win. But in the meantime, the shuffling that you've seen. So you got Zach Martin back, but you lost Lyle Collins. And then you also lost Michael Gallup, DeMarcus Lawrence, and probably, though he didn't say for sure, he just said he's still in protocol, so overwhelmingly likely, Randy Gregory as well. That's just a lot of punches to take, especially defensively when we're concerned about defense. Anyway, oh yeah, and also Donovan Wilson, not sure about Sunday. So I'm not telling you the Chargers are better than the Bucs at all. I'm just worried that team that put up a hell of a fight and should have won last Thursday, that's not the team that's going out there this weekend.
No, I think you're right there. Like, I think DeMarcus Lawrence's voice can be there, right? Like, I think his voice can be part of it, but, man, his physical play on the field was very important. Otherwise, you didn't get five pressures. I don't know how much those five pressures mattered in the grand scheme of things. Were they enough to deter Tom Brady from making a play, making the pass? That's something that I want to know. Five pressures effective, five pressures ineffective.
Okay.
If the guy makes the pressure and the quarterback completes the pass, did it matter?
Yeah.
Did that pressure happen to matter?
Because in theory,
right?
It does, but then you saw it play out and you're like, oh,
he had 10 pressures, but the quarterback completed a pass on every single one of them. So what did it really matter at the end of the day? Somebody's taking a shot here, and I really hate whenever people bring things up when we were at nights and they weren't listening, because I blame them for not listening to the best show then. The situation of Calais Campbell, we were begging the Cowboys to do whatever it took to get that guy on this team. And Kevin's been asking for Olivier Vernon for 3 years now.
Yeah, we do really good at picking up players at the end of those Gerald windows.
McCoy, we've been asking the Cowboys to invest in that part of it, and they refused until, you know, Gerald McCoy, it was too late. Like, his career's done. But you're talking about Olivier Vernon right now. Yes, go do that right now. Bruce Irvin, go get him right now. If he's on that list, if there are free agents out there, Trent Murphy, bring him in. You need everybody you could possibly get. The Cowboys' model, though, was, hey, we're going to clean up some money so that we can have some money next year, but also have some this year just in case. Well, now you have some money, but it's not going to matter on Wednesday. They can't get Olivier Vernon in here fast enough for this game Sunday. All right, like, that's just not going to happen this week.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, they'll reset next week and probably say, all right, let's go ahead and move forward. But, yeah, man, anything you can do to add the talent. When Stephen Jones says 24/7, 365, we're evaluating talent and trying to make sure we have the best here, put that action where it's at, man. Because this week, you're running into a situation where you're going, Basham's the guy. Is that 24/7, 365 we brought the talent in to win? No.
So I saw a couple of people, not surprisingly, text this in, and they said that what Mike said has them feeling bad. I would just say this, and I know 100% how Mike feels about the Cowboys and about this franchise and the direction it's gone for several years. But that doesn't mean that, Mike is not confident. And the bookies, by the way, are not confident in the Cowboys' ability to win this game either. But that doesn't have to impact your thoughts on it. I can't wait to see how this game plays out to see, do we still force turnovers on Sunday? Is our offense still freaking unstoppable like it looked for big chunks of the field like it looked against Tampa? And can you convert in the red and the green zone? I can't wait to see and hear how this game goes on Sunday. Mike is not confident. That doesn't mean you don't have to be confident. That doesn't mean I don't have to be confident.
Can I ask something here? Because obviously with the way that this is built, we're going to be a lot more myopic on this team, on the Cowboys, because that's where we are and that's where we have a lot of information.
Sure.
I don't know what that means.
Focus, it's very narrow focus. Yeah, sorry, I should have used a better word there. But with the Chargers, Derwin James has a toe injury and he did not practice today. Brian Bulaga, one of their tackles, one of their very important tackles, has a back injury. He didn't practice. Chris Harris Jr. didn't practice it, in addition to some other names. They're battling some injuries as well, which, I mean, is football. Does that give you any confidence when you're looking at that team that you're going up against?
Yes.
It could be a shootout. Like, that's what I'm hoping, and that's where I'm putting my fingers crossed, and it stinks that I don't have Lyle Collins this week. Right? Like, that's, I'm hoping to see, man, I really am. I'm hoping to see a 30, 35 to 37 shootout and the Cowboys have the ball last.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, and it, cause if
you don't leave any time for Justin Herbert to drive down the field, Kevin.
And I think that's what people are afraid of, is that it replicates what happened. But if it's a shootout, I'll take my chances.
If we were 1-0 right now, how different would you feel?
See, I think that's true. Because it's remarkable how much one field goal changes it. Because you know what people would say otherwise? I think to a certain extent, not all people, but to a certain extent, you lost your best player last week and you still beat the defending Super Bowl champions. So now you lost your best defensive player, but you got back your best offensive player. Let's take our chances. You know, and it could, look, a lot of things could pivot after week two. Like, if you win this game, then you're going to be like, what's up now? Maybe we could be 2-0. If you get run off the field and it's apparent that you don't even get close to Justin Herbert all day, you have to reevaluate a whole lot of things, and you hope that Stephen Jones and them have already started putting those plan B, C, and D into place.
Yeah, 0-1 going into this game, you start to, and then you have these injuries, you're like, it's desperation time. Like, you can't lose, because what if the rest of the season keeps crumbling like this and you don't have a chance?
Got a study for you about that. We'll bring to you tomorrow.
Interesting.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, live from the Star, our Cowboys insider Mickey Spagnola right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Brought to you by Ford. Built for Texas. Built for you. It is our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. I'm here.
All right. I am excited. Yeah, and hopefully you didn't have to knock any reporters down.
No,
or anything.
No one took my spot this time.
I'm appreciative hearing that. So what are your thoughts? Like, something that Mike McCarthy said this morning really stuck with me when people were asking about Jalen Smith, Micah Parsons running off the line. He was like, look, I'm might as well just give you my game plan. That kind of led me to believe that these discussions have taken place. Is that just logical to you, that pretty much all defensive discussions have taken place in light of this injury?
Oh, I'm sure. Now, I would think the more realistic one would be Micah Parsons. And I think during our session that we just came in from, when they were doing their kind of individual position drills, Parsons was over there with the defensive lineman, so I can tell you that. But again, you're not going to get a steady diet of Micah Parsons at defensive end, right? Because if I'm the other offensive, if I'm the opposing offensive coordinator, and they're trying to play him more than, you know, third and long, I'm running right at him, right? I got a tackle that's going to take on 246 pounds on the line of scrimmage. Now, it's one thing to rush the quarterback, but I don't think you'd get a steady diet of him playing defensive end. That's not going to happen. And I'll guarantee you the other teams would take advantage of him. Now, maybe when they're in base defense and he's the strong side linebacker lining up on the line of scrimmage, maybe instead of him covering like he normally does, maybe he's you know, rushing the quarterback. But I don't think you'll see a steady diet of it. And as for Jalen Smith lining up on the line of scrimmage, you know, when he's had success rushing the quarterback, it's been from a linebacker position and then stepping into one of the gaps, right? But I don't think he could hold up on the line of scrimmage either. So I think what you're going to see is a lot of Dorrance Armstrong and Terrell Basham as you're probably – your first, and you know what? When we get to watch, nothing is in team. So who knows? But I would think those two guys are there, and then you're, you know, kind of having to rely on Anai and, you know, Brent Urban in kind of running downs can play defensive end. He played defensive end in a 3-4, and Golston's kind of ready to go too. So it's going to be all hands on deck trying to fulfill that defensive end spot, especially what is it, Thursday? I don't know that Randy Gregory's going to get back. And as McCarthy pointed out with all the other guys, everybody's almost needed 10 days to return. So they're probably without their two starting defensive ends and probably one of the best guys on defense with DeMarcus Lawrence.
But you did say you're confident in Golston, because I know McCarthy like led us in that direction without flat out saying.
Well, at least he's practicing, so it looks like he's moved. And there was a reason why they didn't put him on injured reserve, right, and force him to miss the first three games. So they thought, and I was thinking, well, he's going to be one. He'll be on the roster one day, and they'll put him on the next day on IR. But they kept him, so they think that he can contribute it. So we'll see. Where that one goes. Interesting thing on DeMarcus Lawrence. So the fractured fifth metatarsal and on his right foot, it's the same one he fractured when he was a rookie. And then I went back and looked, but he did it like towards the end of training camp.
Yep.
So he ended up missing eight games. But again, when you get placed on IR, the IR rule was different back then. So you had to miss, I think you had to miss eight games. Here's what I know about a fractured metatarsal, because I fractured my fifth metatarsal actually 20 years ago.
Was it doing pass rushing drills?
I was playing tennis.
Oh.
And a ball was going over my head, and I leaped up there, and I knew I couldn't get it. So while I'm in the air, I turn around to look to see if it was out. And I came down on the side of my foot. And, you know, it's one of those things where, okay, kind of hurts, and I'm sitting there on the court. And then it was like still hurting, and I looked at my partner. We were playing doubles, and I said, boy, I hate to do this to you, but I don't think I can do this. And sure enough, when I went to get it x-rayed, the guy, the technician, he puts it up on the screen. And he goes, oh, yeah, there it is. He got all excited. He could see where the fracture was. And I go, no, this is not to be celebrated, right? So here's what I was told. So the doc comes in, and he looks in and he goes, yeah. And I said, so how long, like in a boot? And he goes, well, here's the deal. If your livelihood depended on your foot, we would do surgery, put a pin in there, which they've done for Lawrence. He had surgery, or put a screw in there. And you probably could get back to playing in 4 to 6 weeks. But since you're not a professional athlete,
right,
2 months for you. And then when my 2 months were up, they go, yeah, now you need a month of rehab. So 3 months I was out. So that they did the surgery will speed up the rehab. And now it's a question of, you know, how quickly. I'm thinking the best they can hope for, maybe he gets back after the bye I believe it's Minnesota after the bye. But it's five games at least.
Mickey, did your partner finish that tennis round against the pair?
We had to default.
Okay, all right. I know Kevin was really concerned.
I think that broke my heart
though,
more than my busted bone.
I am kind of curious about like the conversation that Zach Martin had yesterday. With COVID, is it the sickness that was actually like concerning him more?
Well, I think that, you know, he had symptoms. Remember, we kept saying if he doesn't have symptoms, well, it sounded like he had some serious head congestion, you know, like sinuses or allergies, whatever. And then he lost smell and taste. He had symptoms. And I believe someone asked him, basically, did you think you could get back in 5 days? And he goes, no, I knew better.
Mm.
He was physically sort of out of it at the beginning. So good to have him back. But, boy, when it rains, it pours, huh?
At the
same position.
I was just counting this to Kevin. At the moment, the Cowboys have 10 IR and 5 out, 1 questionable. And that's based on what I'm seeing right now. I might be wrong about that, but
that sounds close because, you know, Donovan Wilson is not practicing today.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking they may have to give him a game. And Hooker sounds like he's ready to go. So
Okay. Probably
you're flipping those two guys. But you know, without Lael Collins, I'm guessing Steele's the front runner there at right tackle. But they'll have to keep Nsekhe active because you got to have a backup, right?
Right.
And then it comes down to how they, you know, start doing the inactives, because they've only got 52 on the roster right now, and that's with DeMarcus Lawrence. So they haven't put him on IR yet. We'll see where that goes. So you would only have 6 inactive, and then you got to decide, do you want to bring 2 guys up? And I would imagine they bring up Sprinkle again to have the third tight end, and then one more, and it could be a defensive end, or it could be like a Luke Gifford to play special teams, because obviously they're not going to have Darian Thompson available. So they got some roster decisions to kind of go through, but first and foremost, trying to get pressure on Justin Herbert.
Well, on the other side too, Mickey, I'm kind of curious about this, because I know Zeke talked about, hey, look, if you're thinking I had a bad game because you didn't see anything in the box score, then you need to know more about football. Is there a way for him to have a good game, running the ball also effectively with knowing what kind of pressure you're going to get from Bosa and maybe taking advantage of their aggressiveness a little bit?
Well, I believe I saw Washington ran for 124 yards.
Yeah.
So, you know, are they going to do something different defensively against the Cowboys?
I don't know.
And after you saw him, Dak, throw for 403 yards, are you going to say, yeah, well, we're not worried about Dak, let's just stop Zeke, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Now, it's a question of, you know, how well can you help Terrence Steele at right tackle, which they're going to have to do. They can't put him out there on an island by himself. And even run blocking, too. You know, we always think about pass blocking, but, you know, you got Zach Martin back, so that helps on the right side. And if you give him help, then, you know, you might have 3 guys blocking 2. Now, again, they can bring the safety down in the box and, you know, and thinking, okay, they're going to run the ball. But I think it'll be a little fairer. They're not playing the last year's number one rush defense that Tampa Bay has. There's no Ndamukong Suh or Vita Vea in the middle that are 390 pounds or whatever those guys weigh. So, yeah, I think it came down to what was working and how Tampa Bay was playing, you know. And as I've said before, no one was worried, I bet, in Tampa about balance.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They threw the ball 50 times. They only ran it 14.
Well,
so, I'm interested to see what I did. I say San Diego before. I think I did.
That's okay.
The Chargers
tripped us all up this week.
The Chargers, right? We'll see how they decide to play it defensively. I think that'll be interesting to see.
Well, if you could do us a favor and make sure there's no bad news in the next 24 hours before we talk with you again, that'd be really great.
You know, it's just amazing. You know, in my column today, I had seen this on Saturday. There must have been 10 notes on teams, either guys were out or guys weren't sure if they can play, right? And it's just, when Mike says this is life in the NFL, it sure is. But, boy, I would imagine when he goes to sleep at night, he's beating his head against the pillow.
I would be.
Right? After last year and what happened on the offensive line, now it's happening on the defensive line. Goodness gracious.
Sheesh. Thank you very much, Mickey. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow.
Absolutely. See ya.
Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com if you want to read that column. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bacsik.
Let's talk about this AL wild card race. It's going to go down to that last weekend next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. visit pitchhitrun.com today.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bashek.
All right, so I am a little bit excited about the Ranger game tonight, and here's why. And I get most people will be watching football. I would say this, just keep an eye on the Rangers, or maybe even just box score just to see how it goes. Otto is starting tonight for the Texas Rangers. Here's why I'm interested in this. He pitched against the Houston Astros, his kind of hometown team. The team that he grew up rooting for, and he was great. His last game, he wasn't. He got hit pretty hard. So you get to see two things here. When you're looking at a young guy and you're trying to evaluate what he's going to be, this is very tough to just say this is what he's going to be because of this start or that start. But what we have here for Otto is this. He's coming off of a bad start. How does he do after getting hit pretty hard in the major leagues? His confidence was obviously shaken. It has to be after what happened. So it's like, okay, I can get hit. I can give up a lot of runs in the major leagues. I have to make better pitches. It's not as easy as maybe it ended up being to start my career off. Second, all of these Houston Astros, for the most part, the majority of them, have multiple at-bats now against Otto that they can go back into their bank and they can check out. How did he attack me last time? Because if you're Otto and if you're the Texas Rangers, don't fix something that wasn't broken.
Right.
And so you're going to go with similar sequences to start off the game. Most likely, I'm not saying he will, but most likely, if I went against, let's just say, Jose Altuve, but by the way, if you throw him a fastball to start this series, I believe he swung at all three first pitches to start the game off this.
Does he hit him?
He's gotten a hit on, I know, one of them for sure.
Okay.
And then I think he got a hit later in an at-bat. He's let off two out of the three games with a hit against I guess it was Arahara last night. He grounded out to start the game. But
okay. That didn't, so you're saying throw a screwball to him.
I'm saying that you got to watch where you throw the fastball to start the game.
Oh, okay.
If you just want to go fastball middle to get ahead of the game 0-1, you might be losing 1-0.
Because he is going yard.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying he's going yard, but he's attacking first pitch fastball to start the game. And it's almost like it's not a bad approach if you're a veteran guy. Think about, we were talking to Woody about Jeter, and he said, hey, I don't know this guy too well, or I struggle. Does this guy throw a fastball down the middle? If you don't know a guy too well, like, dude, if he throws me first pitch fastball, he's probably going to want to throw it for a strike to get ahead of me 0-1. I'm just going to attack. I'm just going to sit first pitch fastball. I'm going to cheat here. And if he throws me a first pitch fastball and it's around the zone, I'm going to attack it because I'm not exactly sure how he's going to work in his secondary stuff because he doesn't have a lot of information on a guy like Otto. So I would say I've watched Altuve this series attack first pitch fastball to start the game, and I would just say, hey, it's okay to throw first pitch fastball to start the game, but you can't just throw first pitch fastball getting a lot of the plate because he is going up there hacking. But getting to this, what will Otto do? How will he pitch against teams that now have an idea of what he throws, how he throws his breaking ball, when he likes throwing his breaking ball? How does he like using his fastball? Does his fastball have movement? Does his fastball have location on both sides of the plate? Can I eliminate a side of the plate against him on certain counts, certain fastball counts? So this is where, when we watch a guy and we get all excited and then we go, oh, I'm not excited anymore, because my best example is Chi-Chi. If you remember, in about 2014, Chi-Chi was considered a big prospect for the Rangers, and he came up and, I don't know, it was like three or four starts in a row that were just awesome, right? I mean,
yeah.
Awesome. And then the league is like, oh, okay, changeup stinks. Breaking ball doesn't have much break. He only uses it to show, so I don't really have to worry about a breaking ball in counts that I'm behind in. I can hit that pitch very easily. I just have to worry about fastball location. Really, he's just a fastball location guy. Everything else is below average in the major leagues. And so teams started taking advantage of that, and then it was time for Chi-Chi to really make adjustments. Here in Texas, he couldn't adjust. I believe he's a bullpen pitcher for, I can't remember what team he's with. He's a bullpen pitcher for a team. So he's made enough adjustments to stay in the major leagues. But I'm interested in Otto tonight to see how Houston attacks him, how he attacks Houston, and it gives me a better sense of if this guy can give you immediate help in 2022, or is he kind of, look, this is going to be a process. Think of Taylor Hearn and how long of a process it's taken him. We didn't even think he was going to, at least I didn't think Taylor Hearn was going to be a major league starter from what I saw from 2019 and 2020. I thought he could be a very power throwing left-handed pitcher out of your bullpen and used in multiple ways. But what Taylor Hearn has learned and now what he's showing us as a fan base is he can be a quality starter in your rotation. We'll get to see 2022 how he does, but he's done enough to me in 2021 that I want him in my rotation to start the 2022 season. Now let's go to the biggest picture. I'll tell you what. I'll stay with the Texas Rangers here because tomorrow we're not doing baseball nuggets. It's a football Friday. We're getting you prepared for pro football. We're getting you prepared a little bit for college football. I'm also excited about this weekend. I have not seen Luis Robert in person. I have not seen Eloy Jimenez in person, even though Jimenez did come to the ballpark in 2019. He was a rookie that year. But you get to see the Houston Astros, then you get to see the Chicago White Sox. These two teams are going to take on each other in the first round. It's pretty much determined. We don't know who's going to have home field advantage, but I'm going to kind of determine who I think is going to win that series based off of how they play against the Texas Rangers. I know that's weird, but I'm going to kind of watch these games. I've watched the Astros. Now I'm going to get to watch, after this game today, I'm going to get to watch the White Sox play here in Texas for three games. They're going to match up against each other in about 3 to 4 weeks in the playoffs. And so a lot of what I see in these seven games that I've seen, three I've already seen, the four coming up, I'm going to kind of go, okay, I think the White Sox are going to win the series because, or I think the White Sox are going to lose the series because.
I like that idea. I like that mindset because the Rangers are doing things to try to, you know, play competitively right now. I like that.
Yeah, even though this, I think you bring up a good point, Corey, but yesterday's game when they brought out Arihara for the fifth inning, that felt a little, trying to use my words correctly here, that felt a little bit kind of like, we just want to see how he pitches in the fifth inning. I think if you were really looking at the game, I think if Woody, if let's say they were two games behind the Astros for the division or two mm-hmm. games behind Toronto for a wild card spot, I don't think they would throw Arihara back out there for the fifth inning. Okay. It was like, look, we know that he is kind of finished and that he's going to struggle to get anybody out the rest of the game. But winning and losing ultimately doesn't matter here right now. We're trying to see what guys can and can't do. Let's throw him out for a fifth inning. We wanted him to get 80 pitches. Let's see if we can get him closer to 80 pitches. And he gets hit pretty hard in the fifth inning, can't get an out in the fifth inning. And then the game kind of really got out of hand at that point. So I think to your point, yes, the Rangers are trying very hard. The Rangers aren't not trying. They're trying their hardest. Talent-wise, Houston and the Chicago White Sox have a whole bunch more talent. And when you're I've noticed when you're managing games right now, especially if you're losing a little bit, it's kind of like, let's experiment and there to see if this works or this doesn't work to give us an idea on what we could possibly be bringing to spring training in 2022. The Blue Jays, the Red Sox, and the Yankees all win yesterday, which means we still have, which is really fun. I didn't get to yesterday, and thank you guys for all winning or all losing because it keeps this alive that I wanted to do yesterday. This is going to be really fun because we're coming down the stretch to the last 15 or so games for all of these teams, and there is a three-way tie for two spots,
wow,
the two wild card spots. The Toronto Blue Jays, I looked at their schedules. I thought this would be kind of fun to look at. And I look at their schedule and I go, all right, Toronto has some very winnable games coming up. They just took 2 of 3 from Tampa Bay, who's going to win their division. They're up by enough that Tampa doesn't really have to worry too much about their division and not being the number one seed in the American League. They do have to play at Tampa after they play Minnesota. And then they have three games against the Yankees, September 28th, 29th, and 30th, that are going to be huge games. They get to close their season, though, against the Baltimore Orioles. So they should have three wins to finish the season. So if you're New York and you're Boston and you're tied going into the final weekend, you got to be worried that Toronto's just going to sweep Baltimore because they are the worst team by far in the American League. And I know we're the second worst team, but I do think the Rangers are much better than the Baltimore Orioles, and we actually do get to play the Baltimore Orioles to finish the season. When you look at the New York Yankees schedule, so I gave you the Blue Jays. They do have to go to Tampa, and they do get to host the New York Yankees, which should be a good series at the end of the month. When you look at the New York Yankees here, guys, they have an okay schedule. They play at Boston, at Toronto, and they finish home against Tampa. They have the hardest schedule on a piece of paper. What I wonder, though, is when they host Tampa October 1st through the 3rd, Tampa will probably have nothing to play for. They have probably wrapped up home field in the American League, and they are probably going to be setting their rotation for the first round versus New York or Toronto or Boston. So I can see Tampa almost not playing much in those final three games. So if you look at New York, they would have the hardest schedule except at Boston, at Toronto, finishing against Tampa. I just wonder how hard Tampa is going to be going after those games if they have everything clinched.
Yeah.
So New York has the toughest time getting into the playoffs. And Boston, who percentage points are behind both teams but tied overall, they're 83-65. The other two teams are 82-64. They have the easiest schedule. They have six games left against the Baltimore Orioles. They finish off at Washington for three games that's having a bad year. So when you look at Boston and their finishing schedule, they have a few less games. They do play the Yankees. They get to host the Yankees September 24th through the 26th. But they have nine games remaining against Baltimore and Washington. So even though I look at Baltimore and go, maybe they're the worst of the three teams, they have the easiest schedule to finish off the last two-plus weeks of the season.
Mike, did you by chance see all of the grounds crew getting ejected?
I did not, but you told me about it.
Okay.
It is a big story on MLB.com.
So the Orioles ground crew supposedly got ejected. You can see the umpire is like, go, go. And the umpire, after the game, he said that that is not what happened. He said, quote, "I didn't eject the grounds crew. I just didn't want all of them behind the tarp, especially with the infield in." But when he points, you can see a crew of, there's like 15 people, give or take. They all, like, not only leave from behind the tarp, they just walk off the field and go out through the tunnel or whatever. And it does really look like they all got ejected.
Wow. Well, if you hate baseball nuggets, don't worry. We're not having them tomorrow. So
no, I'll be sad about that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We'll try to find another spot for Mike right there. Coming up next, Cowboys fans, who are we more afraid of, Keenan Allen or Justin Herbert? Talk about it next right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.